The new boy at North Queen's Ferry School. It was a warm day, and the newcomer, dressed in a heavy pepper and salt suit, looked anything but comfortable as he stood in the playground, awaiting the school's 9 o'clock opening. His stockings didn't help either. Thick, home-knitted stockings collapsed over a pair of vicious-looking boots, metal-plated heel and toe, and reinforced across the sole with formidable square tackets. These boots were destined, as we later found out, to add a new and perilous dimension to our football games. But where had he sprung from? Us boys circled him speculatively for a few minutes, eyeing him silently. Then, "What's your name?" somebody asked. "Joe," he replied.
"Joe Witt?"
"Joe McClenny." For some reason I can't explain even yet, some 80 years later, this additional information struck us as being hilariously funny, and we all exploded into loud shouts of laughter. Only when the merriment died down were we able to continue our quiz. "And where do you bide?" "At the farm." Now we had it. Carly Now's farm lay right up the brae, near the railway station, and close to the approach section of the bridge. The new boy had come down to the school, whereas all the rest of us ferry boys had climbed up to it. And now, with Joe's identity and habitation properly established, we were ready to submit him to what would later be known as the $64,000 question, reserved for the initiation of all new arrivals to the ferry. "Do you ken what's all over the ferry?" we asked. "No," admitted Joe.
"Horse dung," we chorused triumphantly.
Perhaps because of his farmyard connection, Joe received this evidence of our wit and humour with satisfactory appreciation. He joined readily in the mirth, and in the few exchanges possible before school opening, he easily held his own.
"Can you swim?"
"No."
"But I can plough."
"Can you skate?"
"No."
"But I can sing."
"How far can you throw a stone?" somebody asked.
For answer, Joe picked up a small stone and weighed it reflectively in his left hand. In the classroom, Joe, like all coryphisters, would have to bow to the educational edict of the era, which insisted that each child must consistently use his right hand, whether it went against the grain or not. In the playground, Joe was free to do what came naturally. Back came his left arm then, swung forward again in a casual-seeming throw. We held our breath to see how that stone soared up, up and away in a magnificent arc, finally landing just short of the signal box. It really was a prodigious throw, a legendary feat by which later throws would be measured, and we were momentarily dumb with admiration and respect. As if on cue, the school whistle pierced through the silence. There was no bell at the ferry, and we all gladly swept the newcomer along in our chattering ranks as we prepared to line up for the day's lessons. Joe McClenny was all right.